RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesian government calls for people's participation in the sustainability of cultural preservation. Indonesia proposes the development of partnership cooperation of ASEAN China in the ACFMM. Now the news in detail. Director General of Culture, Ministry of Education and Culture Hilmar Farid, called on all Indonesian people in general and Balinese people in particular to continue the development effort and preservation of the national culture. Hilmar Farid conveyed this after handing 3-gender certificate of Balinese traditional dance as the non-objects world cultural heritage of UNESCO to 9 regions mayors in Bali on Sunday. In his speech, Hilmar said, the world recognition for Indonesian culture will have implications on a higher responsibility for the preservation of culture.
Pengakuan ini juga terkait atau nanti punya implikasi, punya akibat tanggung jawab.
The recognition also has implication and responsibility. The world has given recognition. Now the question arises again to us. The question is, what next? There is still plenty of room to improve on what we already provide to the Indonesian art and culture. There are still a lot of homeworks we must finish in order to keep hold of this cultural preservation. Furthermore, Hilmar Farid said the success of Bali to achieve UNESCO's recognition should be distributed in all regions in Indonesia. According to him, all Indonesian people should have the same spirit in sharing experience and knowledge to preserve the national culture. He added that the international recognition of Indonesian art and culture should be taken as momentum for sustainability effort to put the culture at the upstream of human development. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno LP Marsudi is to attend the special ASEAN-China Foreign Ministers Meeting, ACFMM, which will be held in Yuxi, Yunnan Province, China, on June 13 to 14, 2016. The ministerial meeting is attended by ASEAN Foreign Affairs Minister and China, as well as ASEAN Secretary General. Indonesia will issue some proposals such as ASEAN-China partnership cooperation should bring real benefit for the region to emphasize the importance of maritime cooperation in the framework of East Asia Summit, especially for the development of fishery industry, small, medium enterprises, and research. The proposal also includes strengthening ASEAN-China cooperation to eradicate illegal, unregulated, and unreported fishing. Indonesia also urged ASEAN and China to maintain peace, security, and stability in the region with respecting the international law. In the ministerial meeting, they will also discuss some agendas such as the development of partnership cooperation of ASEAN-China, preparation of summit conference on the commemoration of 25 years ASEAN-China partnership cooperation, and the development of regional issues, especially in the South China Sea. Chairman of BKPM Frankie Sibarani said Japanese investors have shown intention to invest in various major electricity projects in Indonesia. Frankie told the media in a written statement Saturday, June 1, 2016, that in addition to several power plants, the most appealing project for the investors is the gas and thermal power plant Java 1, with a capacity of 1,600 megawatt. BKPM data shows that Japan's investment realization in the second quarter of 2016 reached $1.58 billion, which consists of 427 projects that absorb 28,377 workers. Japan is behind Singapore in the investment list, above Hong Kong, China, and the Netherlands. Indonesia saw positive trend in Japan's investment realization in 2015 that increased by 6% compared to that of 2014, which was at $2.87 billion, with 2,030 projects that absorb 115,400 workers. The main contributors of Japan's investment are manufacturing, particularly automotive, electronics and machinery, as well as chemical and pharmaceutical sectors. Wahana Lingkungan Hidup of the Indonesian Forum for the Environment, Walhi Bengkulu, says that underground coal mining poses a threat to the environment. The organization has urged the government to be more cautious in issuing permits for that type of mining. Manager of advocacy and campaign of Walhi Bengkulu, Sony Taurus, during a visit to a mining site Monday, June 12, 2016, said that the land contour and soil compactness in Bengkulu are very prone to landslides, so the people are reminded have to be worried if there is a hole underneath it. Sony Taurus explained the conflict between the company and residents has indicated that something was wrong from the beginning of the mining operation. Head of Mining Techniques of PTCBS, Danu Ardianto, considers that the fear shown by residents are overblown. Because the company has had a comprehensive study on excavation. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian government will begin a trial integrated toll road payment system for the country's longest toll road linking Jakarta to Cikampek and then Cikampek to Palimanan in West Java to help ease vehicles queuing up during the Idul Fitri exodus. The main purpose of the payment system is to smooth out the traffic flow on the toll road connecting Jakarta to Cikampek and Cikampek to Palimanan and East Brebes in Central Java. With a new payment system, vehicles will only need to get a ticket at the entrance and then pay 109,500 rupiah at the Palimanan exit toll. In this way, the number of vehicles lining up to pay at the toll gate will be lowered. The Cikampek-Palimanan toll road, known locally as the Cipali toll road, is the longest toll road in Indonesia, spanning more than 116 kilometers. Officially opened last year, it is the main route for homebound Idul Fitri travelers. The Environmental Management Agency of Bekasi City, West Java, has conducted a study about the effectiveness of the payment for plastic bags. Head of Environment Management Agency of Bekasi City, Supandi Budiman, on Sunday, June 12, said that program of payment plastic bags initiated by the Ministry of Environment and Forestry and has been running for about 3 months in Bekasi, but the ministry still have not seen its impact. Head of Trade Department of Bekasi City, Herbert Panjaitan, assessed the use of plastic bags by consumers in Bekasi are still high due to the relatively low selling price. He added, the ministry has handed over the authority of pricing plastic bags to local governments. The Jakarta Transportation Agency has found that only 10% of the 508 buses prepared for the upcoming Idul Fitri exodus are roadworthy. Jakarta Bus Terminal Head Muhammad Faisal said only 52 buses had been declared roadworthy. Faisal did not detail the measures his agency would take to improve the roadworthiness of the buses. The agency plans to cooperate with the Jakarta Health Agency and the Jakarta Narcotics Agency to conduct drug tests on the would-be bus drivers, in addition to renovating 12 bus terminals in Jakarta over the coming weeks to cater to the outflow of 140,118 homebound travelers from Jakarta. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian government calls for people participation in the sustainability of cultural preservation. Indonesia proposes the development of partnership cooperation of ASEAN China in the ACFMM. That was the news.
Listener, our commentary today entitled "The Importance of Keeping Religious Harmony." Bali Province hosted the second national conference of the Forum for Religious Harmony, which runs from Saturday. The conference aimed maintaining the integrity of religious harmony for the sake of Republic of Indonesia was attended by the Minister of Religious Affairs, Lukman Hakim Saifuddin, and more than 250 members of the forum both throughout Indonesia. Interreligious harmony is a social condition in which all religious groups could coexist without compromising their each fundamental right to perform religious duties. Interreligious harmony in question is to create a state of harmony without any conflict between the respective religious communities and interdenominations that differ from one another, between adherents of one religion and other religions, and between religious communities and the government. But occasionally, both the government and religious communities themselves forget this principle, so that a dispute may occur and it may trigger disintegration. Interreligious harmony becomes very important for Indonesia. As a country with diverse religious backgrounds, different religious affiliation of Indonesian nation is sometimes a trigger of disharmony and potentially divisions. Frequent conflicts in separate regions in Indonesia still happen. Such conflicts may happen due to the establishment of houses of worship and particularly blasphemy. However, the result of the national survey on religious harmony conducted by the Ministry of Religious Affairs in 2015 showed that the national average of religious harmony stood at 75.36 in the range of 0 until 100. This figure puts Indonesia in the category of high harmony with the workings of the dimensions of harmony, namely tolerance, equality, and cooperation. Keeping a sense of tolerance for creating religious harmony is very important, especially in the month of Ramadan, when Muslims are fasting from dawn until sunset. It takes a good sense of tolerance among Muslims themselves and with other faiths. Thus, creating a peaceful, safe, and respectful atmosphere is very important. Listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listeners, it's nice to meet you again. I'm here, Mana Rahmana, in our regular program Today in History over Aerial Service Voice of Indonesia. Well, we start for an event on June 13, 1921, about the first resistance of Palestinians. For the first time, Palestinians held armed resistance against the British colonial government on June 13, 1921. The resistance, which took place in the first year of British colonialism, indicated a strong reaction of Palestinians on various political spheres which were controlled by Britain in the region. As stated in the Balfour Agreement, the Great Britain declared itself as the main supporter of Jewish settlers in Palestinian territory until the establishment of a Greater Israel. Since Balfour Agreement was implemented, a number of Jews increased rapidly. The next event was in 1944, when land-to-land missiles were used in war. For the first time, long-range ground missiles were used in the Second World War on the date of June 13, 1944. The missile, which was named V1, was fired by the army of Nazi Germany to the target region of England. Early Germany bombarded England region with the missile, which was fired from fighter planes. Obviously, such operations had risky impact on the German army as well as meant more cost. For this reason, German soldiers eventually attempted to reduce ground-to-ground missiles. After the war ended, the world countries emulated and developed the types of the missiles. And the last event was in 1996 when Garuda Indonesia Flight 865 crashed. Garuda Indonesia Flight 865 was a scheduled international flight from Fukuoka, Japan to Jakarta, Indonesia. It crashed at the takeoff of June 13, 1996. The crew of the McDonnell Douglas DC-1030 attempted to abort takeoff after the failure of the number 3 right engine. The abort occurred at the speeds nearing V2 and after rotation of the nose. Following the abort, the attempts were made to stall the aircraft on the runway by using brakes, ground spoilers and thrust reversers, but the crew was unable to stop the aircraft within the boundaries of the runway, which excited the airport property. The captain stated that he feared that the aircraft might hit buildings or objects if he did not abort the takeoff. The failure of the engine was attributed to the fuel tubing plate that had been in use for 6,182 cycles. General Electric, the manufacturer of the engine, had advised customers to discharge turbine blades after 6,000 cycles. The final report concluded that there were pilot error, the failure of the maintenance. As a consequent flight operation sanction of the airline in the property coordinated matters resulted in the accident. Listener, that was Today in History, presented by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. The topic of today's Focus is the government to speed up development projects in a number of regions in Indonesia. When reviewing the development, Indonesian government continues to prioritize the accelerated development of infrastructure in the country, among others by building a steam power plant, such as mobile power plant in Bangka, Belitung, Paya Pasir Medan, Nias, Aur Duri Riau, and Tarahan Lampung. Previously, the President also inaugurated the construction of power plant at the beginning of June in several provinces. Antara News Agency reported Presiden Joko Widodo during a working visit in Mataram, West Nusa Tenggara province on Saturday, June the 11th, said that the Indonesian government would build several power plants to prevent deterioration of the economic growth in the region. The President, when reviewing development of gas and steam power plant unit 2 Jeranjang in Mataram, West Nusa Tenggara, said there should be no economic growth in areas that did not previously anticipate it, which may lead to lower economic will in the region. The President further said the government also continues to give attention to a number of areas which still lack of electricity supply. If economic growth is not accompanied by the addition of electrical power, the development in vulnerable areas is plagued. President Joko Widodo also said that with the increase in power supply, it can sustain the power requirements for small and micro and medium enterprises in rural communities and to improve education for children. According to the President, the government is pursuing electrical energy to supply the need of 35,000 megawatt industry and the people of Indonesia and will monitor and follow up on shortage of electricity supply by continuing to build power plants in a number of areas. Earlier on June the 9th, President Joko Widodo witnessed the signing of 6 agreements, implementation project and the national strategic infrastructure projects and priority projects. Coordinating economy
Ministry in a press release stated, on the occasion President Joko Widodo revealed the 6 signed agreement are clear evidence of the government's efforts in meeting the people's interests. The signing of the 6 infrastructure projects of national strategic and priority projects is comprised of financial close projects Team Power in Batang Central Jawa, which get the government's guarantee through the Indonesia Infrastructure Guarantee, and 5 toll road projects that 3 of them also get guarantee from the government through PT Indonesia Infrastructure Guarantee. Responding to President Director of PT Indonesia Infrastructure Guarantee, Cynthia Rusli, as quoted by Business.com, said, in this contract, it guarantees 6 priority projects in order to accelerate national infrastructure development program. The warranty provided is given to prevent private investors from various risks, from the moment of doing the construction to political risk that could potentially delay the project. According to Cynthia, with the provision of a guarantee for the infrastructure projects included in the public-private partnership, it would become a point of returning the state's role in the provision of the basic infrastructure nationwide. So, the availability of infrastructure adequate and quality is a prerequisite for economic growth to improve the welfare of society. That was focused today on Government Accelerates Building Power Plan. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. Director General of Culture, Ministry of Education and Culture, Hilmar Farid, called on all Indonesian people in general and Balinese people in particular to continue the development effort and preservation of the national culture. Hilmar Farid conveyed this after handing 3 gender certificate of Balinese traditional dance as the non-objects World Cultural Heritage of UNESCO to 9 regions and mayors in Bali on Sunday. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno LP Marsudi is to attend the special ASEAN-China Foreign Ministers meeting, which will be held in Yuxi, Yunnan Province, China, on June 13-14, 2016. Chairman of BKPM Frankie Sibarani said Japanese investors have shown intention to invest in various major electricity projects in Indonesia. Frankie told the media in written statement Saturday, in various major electricity projects in Indonesia. Japan is behind Singapore in the investment list above Hong Kong, China, and the Netherlands. Indonesia saw positive trend in Japan's investment realization in 2015 that increased by 6% compared to that of 2014, with 2030 projects that absorb 115,400 workers. Wahana Lingkungan Hidup or the Indonesian Forum for the Environment, Walhi Bengkulu, says that underground coal mining poses a threat to the environment. The organization has urged the government to be more cautious in issuing permits for the type of mining. The Indonesian government will begin a trial integrated toll road payment system for the country's longest toll road linking Jakarta to Cikampek and then Cikampek to Palimanan in West Java to help ease vehicles queuing up during the Eid al-Fitri exodus. The Environmental Management Agency of Bekasi City, West Java has conducted a study about the effectiveness of the payment for plastic bags. Head of Environmental Management Agency of Bekasi City, Supandi Budiman, Sunday said that program of payment plastic bags initiated by the Ministry of Environment and Forestry and has been running for about 3 months in Bekasi, but the ministry still have not seen its impact. The Jakarta Transportation Agency has found that only 10% of the 508 buses prepared for the upcoming Idul Fitri exodus are roadworthy. Faisal did not detail the measures his agency would take to improve the roadworthiness of the buses. That was News in Brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id. You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder, and let's speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit West Sumatra Province. Stay tuned. Indonesia has some traditional attractions which use cows and buffaloes. The tradition comes from agricultural community which is in daily life cannot be separated from the two animals. Most communities are familiar with karapan sapi or means burais in Madura East Java. Whereas Minangkabau community in West Sumatra also has the traditional attraction, namely Pacu Jawi. Listeners, if karapan sapi is held on dry land, so Pacu Jawi is held in wet and muddy field which has been harvested. The word of Pacu means race and Jawi means cow. Unlike race, in general, the cows are not competed together. The cows run which are controlled by a jockey while holding rope and beating the tail of the cows. If the tail of the cows are beaten more strongly, the cows run faster. The jockey is given flow, which is made from bamboo as paddle. The tool is one of tools which is used by farmer to plow the field. A winner of Pacu Jawi is a pair of cow which runs straight without turnout until finish. Uniquely, cows which often win the race will raise its price twice. The philosophy of Pacu Jawi is that the cow can walk straight, not to mention human being. Humans who can walk straight will have higher value. Pacu Jawi is a tradition which has been held since hundreds of years ago. Earlier, it was an activity which was held by farmers after harvest season to fill the spare time as well as entertainment media for local people. The tradition is held three times in a year in Batu Sangkar, Tanah Datar Regency, at four sub-districts. Batu Sangkar can be accessed by land transportation from Bukit Tinggi or Padang. Listeners, if you want to witness Pacu Jawi attraction, we suggest you to come in June or July or October in harvest season.
You will amazed with the attending of 500 until 800 cows which attract the event. Moreover, there are many traditional dance performances which are accompanied by traditional instruments. That was Indonesian Wonder for today. We meet again tomorrow with another topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
To speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly, we present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello, listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled Membuat Kolak Bagian 1, which in English means Making Compote Part 1. Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say the sentence twice slowly and you can repeat after me. Membuat, which means to make. Pulang kantor, which means office break. Mampir, which means to stop over. Membeli, which means to buy. Bahan-bahan, which means ingredients. Buka puasa, which means break the fasting. Pisang, which means banana. Ubi, which means yam. Santan, which means coconut milk. Gula merah, which means brown sugar. Now, we give you an example of conversation entitled Membuat Kolak Bagian 1, or in English means Making Compote Part 1. The conversation is between A. Mary and B. Nita at the office. A. Mary, apakah kamu langsung pulang ke rumah setelah pulang kantor? Apakah kamu langsung pulang ke rumah setelah pulang kantor? Which means, do you want to go home directly after the office break? B. Nita, tidak, saya mau mampir ke supermarket. Which means, no, I want to stop at the supermarket. Saya mau membeli bahan-bahan untuk membuat kolak. Which means, I want to buy some ingredients for making kolak or compote. A. Mary, apa itu kolak? Apa itu kolak? Which means, what is kolak or compote? B. Nita, kolak adalah makanan asal Indonesia yang berbahan dasar pisang atau ubi, yang bahan itu direbus dengan santan dan gula merah. Kolak adalah makanan asal Indonesia yang berbahan dasar pisang atau ubi, yang bahan itu direbus dengan santan dan gula merah. Which means, kolak or compote is an Indonesian typical food with banana or yam as the basic ingredients. The ingredients are boiled with coconut milk and brown sugar. Kolak biasanya disajikan untuk berbuka puasa. Which means, kolak is usually served to break the fasting. A. Mary, saya ingin tahu cara membuat kolak. Saya ingin tahu cara membuat kolak, which means, I would like to know how to make kolak. Boleh saya ikut dengan kamu? Boleh saya ikut dengan kamu? Which means, may I come with you? B, Nita, baiklah, ayo ikut saya. Baiklah, ayo ikut saya. Which means, alright, come with me. That was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with our different topics. Thanks for your attention. See you and sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to the regular segment of Music Corner, which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional or modern ones. Today's edition, we will introduce you to an Indonesian singer, Lili Suryani. But before we go to any further, let's listen to the first song by Lili Suryani entitled Ku Telah Berdua. Enjoy the song.
Seringgit sudu aku pun pergi ke pasar dan naik delman. Seringgit sudu aku pun pergi ke pasar dan sudah beristri mengaku bujang. Memang aneh zaman sekarang, sudah beristri mengaku bujang. Seringgit si dua kupang pulang ke rumah membawa pecel. Seringgit si dua kupang pulang ke rumah membawa pecel. Kagak heran gadis sekarang sesudah kawin gak bisa nyambel. Kagak heran gadis sekarang sesudah kawin gak bisa nyambel. Keringgit si dua kupang jalan-jalan kamar menghitung bocah. Enak juga pengantin lama masuk ke kamar menghitung bocah.
Listener, Lili Suryani got her top career as an Indonesian pop singer when other Indonesian singers were also in their top position of career, namely Titiek Puspa. But an alto vocal color owned by Lili Suryani was very appropriate with the songs she brought by. This was the starting point of Lili Suryani to penetrate her career in the Indonesian music industry and equal to other famous singers. The song entitled Gang Kelinci, Tiga Malam, and Genjer Genjer become the hit songs at that time. Well, listener, we take you to listen the next song entitled Gang Kelinci by Lili Suryani.
Thank you.
Lili Suryani began to run her career in the music world when she was at the elementary school in Central Jakarta at 12 years old. Loud voice of Lili Suryani and clear articulation is the main asset in singing. 2 years later, when she was in Budi Utama Vocational School, Lilis got opportunity to sing at the State Palace. She present as an teen singer to bring a Sundanese song entitled Chai Kopi. During her performance, she was the youngest singer among other singers such as Nin Lesmana, Mas Nun Sutoto, and Titik Puspa, who then became her closest friend. The time was the first ever of Lili Suryani met Bung Karno, an Indonesian first president. In 1963, when she was 15 years old, Lilis began perform at a program of the state television station TVRI. At the same year, she got an opportunity to firstly enter the recording company. Starting from TVRI, she began her top career until she famously known to various neighboring countries such as Malaysia, Singapore, Thailand, and the Philippines. Well, listener, before we conclude the segment of Music Corner, let's listen to the last 2 songs from Lili Suryani entitled Air Mata and Tiga Malam. Enjoy the songs and sampai jumpa. Air mata ku titip berlinang.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id. Or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.